Last week, in our sermon series about intentional worship, Cody talked about transformation. And he encouraged us to not keep to ourselves what we get out of a Christian ed class or a Bible study or even a sermon, but to take what we get and to use it to help someone else. And today, in our series on intentional worship, we're going to be looking at communion, the other of our two sacraments. Unlike baptism, which is a one-time sacramental event, communion is celebrated over and over and over again in our worship and life together. Scripture shows us how communion is a divine act of love that Jesus shares with us and which we in turn share with each other. And our Bible text this morning is one of my favorites and one I often use when I make visitations. It is from that last chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And before we dive into it, I want to tell you in summary what has happened in the verses that preceded where our scripture text this morning starts. It's the afternoon of the day Jesus rose from the dead, and two of his followers are needing a break from everything that has happened, and they're leaving the big city of Jerusalem, and they're on the road walking to the small town of Emmaus, about a 7-mile journey. They are sad and confused by the events that have happened in recent days, the crucifixion, death, and burial of Jesus, who they thought was the answer, who they thought was going to save them. And then just that morning, they got reports that the tomb where Jesus had been buried is empty. As they walk and talk, Jesus, raised from the dead, comes alongside of them and starts walking with them. But they don't recognize him. And Jesus listens as they recount everything that has happened and their feelings about it. Jesus feels their pain and their loss. And so after a good while of walking and listening, Jesus can't help but break his silence. And so he speaks and begins teaching them, opening up the scriptures to them. So listen now for what happens next, beginning with verse 27 of Luke 24. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we were talking on the road, while he was talking to us, while he was opening scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This ends our lesson. May God add a blessing to our hearing as we seek to apply his word to our lives. Amen. So this is one of Jesus' first appearances following his resurrection. And for me, and maybe for you, I just find it incredibly powerful that this appearance, one of the first appearances of Jesus following his resurrection, pivots on communion. That sacred act that Jesus set in motion on the evening he was arrested, set in motion so that we might remember for all time and have this experience for all time of how he gave his life for us so that we might have life everlasting. So the risen Lord, out of his divine love and compassion for these two weary, upset travelers, begins interpreting the books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible and the books of the prophet. He wants them to see the connection between what has happened in recent days and weeks and months with what has been written so long ago. And isn't it curious how in all of that, they don't see that this one who is opening and clarifying and interpreting the scriptures to them, they don't see that it's Jesus. They don't recognize him. We wouldn't be like that, would we? Surely, when the risen Lord comes alongside of us on our journeys now, we recognize him, don't we? The three keep walking, and Jesus keeps talking until they reach Emmaus. And Jesus acts like he's going to walk on. But something has stirred in them. They strongly urge him to stay. It's getting late. Spend the night with us. Have dinner. And with that invitation of these two travelers intentionally inviting this stranger in, and Jesus, the stranger, accepting, the plot thickens. The next thing we know, they are all at a table together. And then, at that simple meal, the miraculous happens. The host, the guest, becomes the host. Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. The presence of the divine made visible. Verse 31, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. So this is the first incident in all that time that they've been spending on the journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus that the true travelers recognize Jesus when he breaks bread at table with them. As soon as they recognize Jesus, he vanishes. Perhaps a reminder to us that encounters with the living Lord can be elusive. And perhaps a lesson for all of us to be intentional about staying open to the possibilities of the risen Lord coming to us in unfamiliar guises and when we least expect him. One of the things that God has me doing here at First Pres Littleton is taking communion out to people who can't come in to church. Some see that as taking communion to the homebound, But actually, God's territory is much broader than that. God's communion territory covers anyone who needs to be reminded of the presence and love of God as they travel their own particular journeys. And I also seek to be a reminder of the presence and love of this congregation, this church, for them, and how they are a part of the body of Christ, regardless of their current situation. A couple years ago, I was sent to see a church member who was living independently, but was having trouble getting back on his feet following a recent illness. He was soon to be 90, a former much-loved doctor with a great family and many friends. He liked to talk about books and ideas. We got along well. So my visit that day started out like many previous visits. We were talking, catching up, and then I said something I had never said before to him. I said, "I brought communion. Would you like communion?" I knew my asking would disrupt how he saw himself. He was not someone who needed communion brought to him. There was a silence as he wrestled with being open to receiving communion outside the four walls of church. What would being open in this way mean? What might happen? Where could it lead? Long story short, he said yes. He was intentional about the possibility of opening up to receiving communion, receiving the body and blood of his Savior. And from that moment on, communion has been a regular part of our visits together. And what is even more interesting is the presence and love of God that he experiences in communion. He began to share with his friend Carla, who often joined us at the table. So it is with the followers of Jesus in our Bible study story this morning. They can't wait to share their experience of the risen Christ with others. Their sadness and confusion has changed to energy and excitement. They don't waste any time, Scripture tells us, getting back on the road that they've just traveled, turning around and going back to Jerusalem so that they can get together with their friends and anyone else who will listen to tell them what has been revealed to them. I think they model for us both how to receive communion and how to live communion. Could it be that we don't really experience the fullness of communion until we give it away? Do you see, it wasn't enough for these weary travelers to experience the presence of the Lord in communion. They needed to share it with others. Yes, taking communion provides sustenance for our journeys, and it enables us to go out and bring communion, meaning the presence and love of God, to others on their journeys. And they, in turn, do the same. And it goes on and on. We might do well to think of communion as a way of life, rather than something we do only at certain times, in certain places. So then how might we be more intentional about our communion? How should we come to the table? What might be our attitude as we receive the bread, the cup? Another word for communion you've probably heard is Eucharist, which comes from the Greek word eucharista, which means thanksgiving. Jesus gave thanks before breaking the bread and offering the cup. Perhaps then we would do well to come to the table with an attitude of gratitude. Giving thanks to God for all he has done and continues to do for us in Christ. Then there's the word communion itself, coming from a practice of early Christians of sharing with one another. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a koinonia in the blood of Christ?" The word koinonia is translated communion in King James and sharing in the New Revised Standard. It's also translated fellowship and partnership, referring to a common sharing or a sense of communion, unity, and exchange with Christ and with one another. Communion. In just a few minutes, we will all again have that opportunity to remember. Communion, a divine sacred act of love given to us so that we might repeatedly remember what's been done to us and what God calls us to do for each other. Communion with God is only part of the story. This morning, I urge all of us to begin intentionally experiencing the whole story. Just as we need communion with God, we need communion with each other. So don't go hungry. Feed your deepest spiritual hungers at the table that satisfies far beyond our ability to explain and understand. Come, let's satisfy our hunger at the Lord's table. Then let's share the presence and the love of God that feeds us by feeding others. Amen.